of Haunts and Hospitality, written by Chromatographic and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman and Danny Phantom crossover, rated for teen and up audiences. It was written for the prompt, "In a city as dark and dreary as Gotham, Halloween is always an interesting affair. More so when the haunts prove real." Patrol has gotten easier lately. He has theories why, and they're sensible ones. The leading one, the most obvious one, is that there are more bodies on the streets this year, prowling Gotham's nights. Not just himself as Batman and the Robin of the time, or Batgirl, the children he's raised to this life. He has regrets. He wishes so much that his children could be, would be, more normal kids. Happier kids. Even when it's crystal clear that none of them would ever be happy with normal, he wishes they all had less pain. That he could snatch it up and keep it inside himself, hoard it like a dragon so they never had to see it, so they could have more joy. Red Robin, Tim, flicks his ear gently through the cowl. He side-eyes his son. "You're in your head again," Tim says without remorse. "I'm following Nightwing's orders on this one." "Ah." He looks back out over the city from their vantage point. They're taking a bit of a break right now. Takeout containers from Red Robin's, not Tim's, favored American Chinese restaurant surrounding the two of them. Robin is with Nightwing tonight, halfway across the city. Gotham has never been small. They're on a mid-tier roof, not a skyscraper proper, but one of the taller apartment buildings in this part of town. Red Robin's part of town. He frowns. "That's a problem face," Red says, observingly, and Tim's always been eager to solve his problems, even when he didn't, shouldn't, have to. It's an invitation to give Tim a problem to solve back into their old habits. He thinks on how to phrase what he's mulling over. The thoughts are half-formed, he knows, and the wrong word choice can easily lead down a garden path that ends in a cul-de-sac rather than true progress. "We've all gotten territorial," is all Batman lets himself say. "I'm not sure why I'm worried about it now." He watches Tim's micro-expressions as his son flips through the recent past in his mind. And it's only been the past year or less, even, that the family has found some kind of stability with each other and their places in Gotham. That the friction between all of them, intense personalities, intense lives, has smoothed out, smoothed over. The territorial lines are even newer, but somehow, they've never been defined, but also never crossed. Not without permission. Not since Red Hood claimed Crime Alley as his own, and Batman ceded it to him. He's not sure how he knows that, but he knows it to his bones. The way he knows Gotham without any map, rooftop to sewers, even when bits are under construction. He watches Tim think, calms in their ears quiet. He knows that Oracle is ready at a moment's notice, up in the clock tower. That Nightwing and Robin are flying, grappling through Diamond District. That Red Hood is meeting with a lieutenant, Lucia Perez, who used to be Marco. That she's transgender does not matter to him. Knowing previous aliases, even well-loathed dead names, does. He tries to keep it to that professional level. He's never sure how successful he is at that. Lucia took over the bulk of management for Red Hood's people when Jason started stepping back towards the family more. After he confirmed that he'd taken out Black Mask for good, she and her core allies, names Batman knows if he needs them, but he doesn't need them right now, agree to work with Hood on more social initiatives for the area. Bruce Wayne is more than happy to provide the funding, as necessary, but not even Batman can deny the small, vicious approval that Red Hood is funneling Black Mask's old assets into them instead. That's what started it, though, Bruce thinks, Jason claiming Crime Alley out from under Batman's wing. Tim's been chattering a bit, small talk, carefully coded, about their civilian lives while they eat. It's a long habit with the two of them since Tim took on the Robin mantle. For Bruce and Tim both, it can help to talk about the little things while their brains work on figuring out the bigger ones. With Dick, he often had to talk things out at first until they gradually worked towards this. With Jason, with Steph, they never got here, in partnership, before, well. Damien is still learning many things, but for once, he is not the first person that Robin automatically looks to for guidance on the streets. It's oddly freeing. He can't bring himself to be jealous of Dick for being that person when they're both in the room. He's beyond dismayed that Batman couldn't die at a time they assumed he had. He's beyond proud that Dick stepped up, stepped in, and did an admirable job, despite all his grief and pain. He's beyond proud of all of his children. Tim's cleaning up the trash before Bruce realizes it. There's a specific click on their comms. A chime, Oracle calling them all to the main channel. Before Oracle even starts speaking, he and Red Robin are both moving down to street level, down to the Batmobile. There's something crossing the Brown Bridge, the one furthest from Wayne Manor, and he can feel it. He glances at Tim, who's made the area around the marina his home, who's more comfortable in his skin, living in his houseboat, than he's been in the manor for months. Jason's more comfortable in Crime Alley in the same way. Dick, since he came home from Bloodhaven, its reins of vigilante monitoring handed off to trusted friends in the wake of tragedy, first claimed the penthouse out of social need. Now he's settled on the edges of the Upper East Side. He's finally convinced his oldest to accept a salary. He had to couch it in being paid for protecting Gotham as Nightwing through the budget of Batman Inc., even if the civilian accounting said otherwise. But that and some of Jason yelling about setting a good example for the younger generation to not let themselves get taken advantage of for their labor, that Bruce intellectually understood, but knew he would never intrinsically understand. But they got there. Territory, though. With the exception of himself and Robin, they've all carved out bits of Gotham that they patrol more often than the rest, that they're more grounded in. Something's coming across the bridge, and Oracle on the comms says it's some kind of tank of an RV. Silver, green highlights in the streetlights, speeding, speeding, speeding. Red Robin is in the passenger seat, buckling in time with Batman, and he shifts the Batmobile in gear. The tank, RV, whatever it is being followed, hounded from what Barbara says. White vans. The RV has Illinois plates. The white vans have a logo that Oracle cannot match, cannot find. Someone is running. But why? Why here? Gotham has been a haven in the past, for people both good and up to no good, but it's still an island city. By the number of vans, whomever is in chase could likely cut the RV off from the roads, the bridges, and tunnels. The airport is on the mainland. It's either the docks or whoever is running plans to stay, to either hunker down and hide or bring a fight here. His children, his so-called Bat Kids, Duke excluded and sleeping off the day shift, are in his ears, Oracle guiding them well, keeping them updated. Nightwing and Robin reach the bridge first, himself and Red Robin with a 2-minute, 30-second ETA. Red Hood's 30 seconds behind that. Batgirl and Spoiler are idling closer in their own patrol, but more slowly, in case backup is not necessary. There's weapons. Guns, a substance glowing green, the question of Lazarus waters, hanging in the air. Nightwing is in pursuit, Robin on a bike behind him. A call. A call in the dark. Did anyone else feel that? From Tim. Yes. Fuck. Click. The specific tone for Cassandra's affirmative. Yeah, that was weird. B. Nightwing, almost on top of Steph's response. It's a kid, hanging out of the first vehicle. It's coming from him. The Batmobile revs onto the road, the thoroughfare where this RV and the white vans are running each other around. His Robins closing in, his Batgirls behind. Phantom of the Infinite Realms requests sanctuary. The child on the roof of the RV shouts to the wind. Territory. Everyone felt the RV cross the bridge. Cross the borders. The child is Tim's age, or Jason's at the oldest. It's difficult to say, that bleed between older teenager and full adult, that all his sons crossed almost as soon as they reached it, that others take kinder years to bridge. His dark skin looks sickly, with the green glow reflecting off of it. He wears glasses, but even through the reflections, an amber glow is seen. A meta, likely, that is the most likely conclusion, but... Crown Prince Phantom of the Realms requests the sanctuary of Lady Gotham's haunt. Men in the vans lean out and fire their weapons. Haunt. The dark-skinned boy fires back. That word shouldn't sing to him, to any of them. It does. The haunt of Amity Park has fallen. The Fraid of the Phantom come to the Lady Gotham for aid, for care. Amity Park, where is that? We ask the Knights of Lady Gotham for protection. We of Phantom's Fraid beg you for your protection. None of them should be this. It sings. The power. It rises. The boundaries. They shut. Then by ancient terms, hospitality will welcome Crown Prince Phantom and his Fraid. Do no harm to my people, Lord Phantom, and we will do our best to prevent further harm to you. It's a whisper in the dark. It's a promise in the night. It's a vow written in the air. The boundaries are shut, as sure as if the bridges were out and the tunnels were flooded. And whatever hunts this child, these children, is locked in with them. Gotham may be a monster of a city, but even monsters love their children. Even monsters can be called to protect. The end.